Here's a great book. Oh, this is just a beautiful thing. Just what the doctor ordered. It has beautiful paintings throughout by Howard Steer and Peter Nicholson, presumably with the text. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome, Peter.
The Silver Sea.
Good evening.
Good on you, Howard. Did Pro influence you? I can see his influence.
Oh, there's a bit of colour in there. They're possibly brighter than Pro's, but it's actually in the same area that Pro brought up in, and I was brought up the same area.
I love your painting in there of the dawn, the landing at Anzac Cove.
All right.
Yeah, yep. I love that. I laughed. I laughed like a drain reading this book. It's a beautiful book, and beautifully produced in hardcover with a clamshell box.
Well, you can thank Peter for that. He's the designer of that.
And, Peter, you've written the copy, or you've elaborated?
Yeah, no, I've written the text and done the layout and the pre-press.
You both, well, and congratulations, it's a beautiful job. And it's for the Royal Flying Doctor?
No. Actually, they'll sell it at their outlets. And, the money they sell the book for, which will go to the profits of the Flying Doctor. But over the last 25 years, I've been supporting the Flying Doctor.
Of course you have.
With cards and merchandise and that type of thing.
You were both born in 1947, the Chinese year of the fire pig.
That's right.
I laughed the whole way through. It's hilarious. With nods to all kinds of artists, right at the end you acknowledge people. It's beautifully written, this book. It's just a joy. I can't... thank Barry Humphries for his massive original contribution to the Australian idiom, for Barry McKenzie.
Yep.
Michael Lunig, anyone who thanks Michael Lunig for anything, I think, is a friend of mine, and many other people. Tony Chaplin, not Tony Chaplin from here.
Tony Chaplin from Adelaide.
You the RSL.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Who is influential in the marches. And
yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's the Chief Marshal.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, he's a great
guy. He's also a very nitpicking critic of the English language. And,
is he?
I value his opinion in that department.
Well, he's done very well. You go through, it's an alphabetical, it's very rich. There's hundreds of your paintings throughout, which are very whimsical and often... puns, organ donor. It's your flying doctor who's the doctor in a top hat with white wings, and that's your flying doctor. He's in almost every illustration, and they're all funny, and there are many of them puns. But it's outback life as seen by the flying doctor, of course, who is ever present.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. If not actually, he's there in the minds of country people.
Well, a lot of artists have had a go at painting the Flying Doctor, and every time you see it, it's normally a King Air aeroplane or a Polaris or some of the old type, the dragonflies.
Yep.
But I've actually come up with the idea when I was a kid going to the movies. You see a Western movie where the sheriff was in the main street and decided to have a shootout with the Kincaids, the Kincaids gang or the Dalton gang. And every time the sheriff would win, which is every time, they'd call Doc Martin out of the crowd, and he'd come out of the crowd with three-quarter coat, top hat and black bag.
Yes.
So as a kid, I've sort of seen that image and put wings on him and called him the Flying Doctor.
And he is. And he's the sort of genial spirit over all of these pursuits.
Yeah, and he's the umbilical cord of the outback, really.
What I love, because I'm something of a collector of Australian colloquialisms, and there are some here, there are many that I know, and the thousands that you've listed. How did you collect them, Peter and Howard?
Well, I suppose I started about 7 years ago, and... Howard's and my collaboration sort of required something more than just a picture book. And, as you say, both being fire pigs, we're probably putting down the things that we've heard and our fathers have said for the last 60 so years, some of which are fading fast, you know.
Some of which are. Many of which are.
We worry that, people in years will be walking around saying, "Hiya, buddy," and... a lot of these colourful sayings will go. So it was time to put them down.
I couldn't agree more. There are some, or many that I know, but there are some that have confounded me, and I'll come to some of those. But it is a very complete glossary of the language and makes for a very entertaining book, Cranky. You know, I hope Cranky never goes, you know. Cunning as a shithouse rat. That's a wonderful expression. You don't hear that as much as... Cooey's completely gone.
Yep.
When did you last hear Cooey, I ask you? I love this Broken Hill Muriel of yours, which encompasses the whole schmear there. And Broken Hill on the Move, the centenary. Sculptures being moved by ants. Here's one I'd never heard of. I know the Nullarbor Champagne, and I know the, was it the Brompton cocktail? But I've never heard of a Diamantina cocktail. What that?
Yeah, well, right. That's,
I've got here a drink of rum, condensed milk, and emu egg.
Correct. Yeah, not popular in the city, but
done up like a pox doctor's clerk, which was always a dinner suit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Every bastard and his dog. I love that. Who was there? Every bastard and his dog was there. Yeah. You do a whole page of bastards too. Yes, everything. A friendly bastard, lovable bastard, rich bastard, smart, not a bad old bastard, yeah.
A wet, pathetic bastard.
Oh, dear. The sneaky, smarmy, lying little bastard.
We've all known one of those.
Rich bastard. Generous old bastard. Yes, yep. All of those, yes, because it's a... It confounds new chums, the fact that, how are you, you old bastard? I've never heard this expression, flat as a shit carter's hat. What does that mean?
Well, from the old days where cans, you know, were used. And,
yes.
And they carried them on their head and flattened
right.
their hats.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah. And did your father say that, Peter? Or?
Not specifically, but it fits into sort of colourful phrases like, one of my favourites is harder to pick than a broken nose.
Yeah. Hair like a bush pig's ass. I've never heard that before. Yes, I suppose people do have hair like that, poor buggers. Going 20 to the dozen. Good-o's nearly gone. Right-o is nearly gone. Righty-o.
Yep.
And the brass razoo. Haven't got a brass razoo. That's still with us, I think, don't you?
That is, isn't it? There's an illustration of a brass razoo there.
An illywacker. I think it's largely gone. You don't hear that. It was a novel by Peter Carey, too. In a Tiz. In Like Flynn, of course, we've got that. And I interviewed his daughter, Rory, and Errol Flynn. He wanted to call his autobiography In Like Me. But they wouldn't let him. I love that. I love that story. It says everything about that wonderful man who's... under-celebrated and as in the grip of the grape. Oh, yeah. In the pudding club, rather. In your dreams. What's... Oh, and I love this. Italian or Lebanese lawn is concrete.
Preferably green concrete.
I've got green concrete. I like green concrete, which was put in by Italians. You remember that concrete they used to put in with the ground glass in it too, yes.
I think they're called terrazzo.
Terrazzo.
No. This was it was concrete for outdoors, and it had a layer of literally ground glass on the top. It wasn't very friendly, but it sort of gave the illusion of green.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. And I don't know what happened to them, miserable bastards. How long did you work on this?
That's probably about 6 or 7 years.
Mm. And your mates, obviously.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I've published Howard's cards and giclée prints of his work for a long time, and that seemed like a natural extension. It represents about 10 years of Howard's paintings.
No, and beautifully.
And a fair amount of mutual humour in the middle of it.
What's the what are the problems facing the Silver City, Howard?
I think we've got to get more leaders. We've just got followers at the moment, like promotion of the tourist side of it.
Mm.
And to get that rolling, we've got to take chances. We've got to come up with real ideas. There's so much simple ideas you can get to get people back to the hill. We used to have a lot of artists in Broken Hill.
Yeah, and there are not so many now.
There's not so many because they've just sort of packed up and left because there's no support from them. And the only support you get from the artists is what can you donate to the public?
Yeah,
and we're sort of always asked to donate things. So when you sort of kill that sort of it, you really need to get new ideas back into the place. Once you get new ideas back in the place, it's sort of... it sort of generates more interest.
How long have you been there?
Since the World War.
Oh, so you were born there?
Yeah, we're fourth generation there.
Oh, so you're an A grouper?
I'm an A grouper, yeah.
You're not from away?
No, we're not from away.
But you've come to Adelaide.
Come to Tadelaide, yeah.
Did you come to... did your father work on the mines?
My father worked on the Australian Blue Metal Company, which is very similar to being a powder monkey back in those days.
You didn't come down to Largs, did you?
No.
It was a lot, did you?
No.
You're not Broken Hill, Pete, are you?
No, I'm not, no.
So where are you based?
Currently, I'm in Tasmania at a place called Desolation Bay, which is 100 miles south of Hobart. But I've lived in Adelaide. Lived in Adelaide. Well, it's not as bad as Ballarat, but I've lived in Adelaide for sort of 10 years and Perth for 10 years. So.
Oh, all over the place.
All over the south coast.
As a printer?
Involved in art with galleries or art businesses. Yes,
yes. No, I see. Yeah, it's a mug's game.
Exactly.
But no regrets, were there?
No, absolutely not. No. I love it.
And those Glycy prints are marvellous.
Yeah, yeah.
And you specialise in those, do you?
Yeah, well, it's sort of the current technology, so things like silkscreen printing have ceased to exist as a medium for generating
it's
art.
It's become so tech.
Yeah.
But clearly you have a way with words. You can write. Tell us about the order of the raw prawn, please. It's a very important Australian order.
Yes, yes. For people lacking post-nominals and other sort of qualifications, it seemed like an offering that they could put the words or the letters ORP after their name, order of the raw prawn.
And you're giving them?
Giving them a certificate that they can fill in and place on their walls if they care to.
Having the order of the raw... Don't come the raw prawn with me.
Exactly.
What do you have? You could give it to all kinds of people, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you could... There might be something in Broken Hill. You know, you could have the yearly order of the raw prawn day. There's a few people I could think of. Do you see much of Schmitto?
Yeah, I've seen Andrew last week.
Probably face down and then gutted drunk. Being thrown out of bars, probably, generally the way. That trendy pub up Oxford Street, what's the name of that? The cricketers pub?
I think they call it the Tidville Hotel.
He's been banned from there.
Has he been banned?
Yeah, banned.
Yeah.
Barred.
That'd be about 70 banned from now.
Yeah, exactly. Have to go to the Pig and the Whistle.
No, that pig doesn't whistle anymore. It's closed.
Yeah, I know. It's a long time gone. It's a beautiful book. It's available from the Royal Flying Doctor and in good bookstores.
From Flying Doctor bases, yes. From good bookstores or from Watermark Publishing or from Howard Steer.
I congratulate you. And you'll have it in your gallery up there.
Yes, Pat.
Yes. I congratulate you. It's one of the most beautiful publications that I have encountered. And, you know, as a book lover, I love... Exactly that it is such a beautiful book, and you've done yourselves proud, gentlemen, particularly as a survey of your very fine art. And good luck to you, Howard.
Thanks, Pat.
I'll see you in the Silver City.
All right. Thank you
very much.
Peter Nicholson and Howard Steer there.